There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
That's how you do a Russian bribe. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. It's lovely to have you back. What's that wagging finger for?
No. You know what you've done.
I am Marcus, your lovely host, and James or Jim is to my left.
Hello.
Nearly opposite me is Pete.
Calling yourself lovely. What are you like?
Well, you know, somebody will believe me. And Luke is to my right.
All right.
How are you, chaps?
Good. Not very well. Me and Luke are not very well.
Yeah.
I've remembered.
I said good, but I meant ill.
5 minutes in our company, Luke, and now you're wonderful and feeling good.
Mm. We're risking our health being here for you listeners, Marcus and I.
I said on the way here that I said to Marcus, Pete and I are ill, so you'll be ill tomorrow. And he went, well, me and Jim are well, so you might be well tomorrow.
I'll take that.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Better immune systems. We will keep you post, Ted, on how ill we become in a week.
We will steal your post.
Throughout the week. But I think they'll be okay for Christmas, people, so don't worry about them there.
In a way, I'm pleased that I'm ill now because it gets out of the way for Christmas. Mm.
I said that last year and I was ill over Christmas as well. It was exactly this time. I have got my flu jab on Monday. That's annoying. As an asthmatic, I get a freebie.
Is it right? Oh, blimey.
I thought it was only over 60s I had that.
Me and Henry Cooper.
You and your methadone and your free flu jabs.
Sickly Northerners.
Shall I begin?
Yes, please.
Sunderland have been going very well. In the Premier League this season, haven't they, Pete?
And one of the games is the season on Sunday, isn't it?
I'd like to ask you, the Ramble Force, who is your favourite Sunderland player ever?
Outrageous.
James or Jim?
What a question.
Especially in the current...
He's already ill.
Yeah.
You know what you've done.
I'm already ill and depressed.
Yeah. I'm bludgeoning him while he's down.
While he's in bed.
James.
I'm going to go for Kevin Phillips.
Good one.
Did he win the European Golden Boot while
he did?
He's a great pundit as well.
Hell of an achievement. He is a good pundit, actually. And he just seems to keep going, doesn't he?
And of course, the European Golden Shoe is in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, it is.
Can I just say, I don't actually think he is a good pundit. I was joking, but it's backfired because you actually think he is.
Yeah, he's all right.
I just think he was agreeing with you so he could finish the rest of his answer.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's basically a lot of what our contributions to you are.
yes, Luke. The Chinese are mysterious. Your right-wing theories.
You do have some really controversial views about Asian people, I must say.
But, that's it. No, he doesn't. He's a fine citizen.
He doesn't.
Stop it. Oi, it's all right. I've got it.
Stunned silence.
I've got it. All right.
Stunned silence.
Kevin Phillips, K-Phil. I think that's such a staggering achievement to sort of win that while at Sunderland. And no disrespect to them, but obviously they weren't one of the top sides. And did really well there.
Winning it anywhere, but especially not one of the big clubs in the land.
And it's just, you wonder if he could have played more of a part for England at that time in his career when he was on such good form.
Indeed. Good start, Pete.
Well, I'm presuming you're not going to let me have Paul Bracewell, Lee Clark or Robbie Elliott. So I'm going to go for Marco Gabbiadini.
Oh,
good shout.
Scored goals pretty much wherever he went. Ended his career at Hartlepool.
There's a link.
He scored most of his goals at Sunderland. Bit of a Derby County legend as well.
He scored every single
Crystal
goal.
Crystal Palace as well.
I think I'm right in saying, you know, and I'm happy to be taken to task on this, every single goal Marco Gabbiadini scored was a header from 6 yards out.
No, he could absolutely lamp them. He was a strong player, quick as well when he was quite young, but he now runs a hotel in York, I believe.
He was a great player. Would it be fair to say he was a kind of a lower league journeyman, or is that harsh?
He was top division. He was Derby County. He was Manchester City.
True.
He wasn't Manchester City.
No.
He was Derby County, Sunderland, and he ended.
I think he went to Greece for a while.
But he did. Panionios he played for. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Well, so we can agree it was a bit harsh.
Yeah, half. Yeah. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, that's right.
He
yeah.
retired at about 36, and he genuinely was one of those people who wanted to play until he was 40.
And you saw him at Hartlepool's.
I saw him at Hartlepool's briefly when I came up for. He nearly missed out on playing Sunderland in the FA Cup, I remember. Which is kind of sad, but he just still wanted to keep on playing. But I think it was his knee. I think he had a knee problem.
Oh, good. Yes, excellent. Luke,
there's a link there because actually I remember just before the Premier League started, sort of 91-ish.
Oh, did you like pre-football then?
Yeah,
91-ish. Doesn't he present the league show? Hey, hey.
Good.
Not bad.
But it was a game, Man City Sunderland, and 3-2 was the score, and Gabbiadini scored for Sunderland, and one of the fellas that scored for Man City was Big Niall Quinn.
No way.
And he is my favourite Sunderland player.
Towering.
I've got lots of reasons why, much better reasons than you two. One being he's got an amazing song, which went into the top 40, Niall Quinn's Disco Pants.
I'm listening.
Yeah, to the tune of Here We Go. Top 40. Yeah, number one on the indie charts.
I mean, you could an episode of The Ramble could get a sort of top 40 chart position now, but back then that meant something, didn't it?
Don't have a go at Quino.
It was not. It's the opposite of what
and we couldn't.
It was 99. It wasn't that long ago.
Still.
Anyway, and also, do you remember he had the reason I like him? Because obviously, he had a great partnership with Kevin Phillips, and everyone enjoyed watching that. But he had a testimonial at Sunderland, and he gave all the money to charity, a children's charity, and instead of paying any of the players a fee for turning up, he gave them all a letter from a sick child.
You're really after the point, isn't you?
I said, this is what you're playing today. Get your boots on, get out there.
Right.
So that's my Niall Quinn. I think he's a good bloke, Niall Quinn. Do you remember when he paid for everyone's transport back to Sunderland and stuff when they got beaten?
He's the chairman now, isn't he?
Chairman now,
he seems to be running them very well.
Yeah. Come on, you've got to have Quinny. He's a good lad, isn't he, Quinny?
I'll tell you what, I'll give you the points.
Thanks, Pete.
This is a coup.
I was going to say, Chrissy Waddle.
Not really known as
that. Not having that. Didn't spend his best years there, did he?
No. But he did spend some time there.
So I walked through it once.
Yeah. All right, I'll have Darren Bent then.
And the Metro was
Darren
down.
Bent? Yeah. Or Jan. I'll have Jan. Henderson, he's doing well.
You've paid the penalty for anyone.
Or as Jan's known on Sky Sports, Guyan.
Guyan. I love Guyan. I like Guyan.
That's butter, isn't it?
Yeah. Stop doing that.
Do you know what?
Indian-related puns.
Yeah.
When James gave his answer, I thought, he's getting the points. I mean, then Pete's his answer, I thought he's getting the points. But you've won, Luke.
He's just
you've got
them.
Yeah, come on. I can't argue with that.
Think with your head.
Put that on a T-shirt. Think with your head.
There you go.
Luke Miller.
Right, so that has cleared up the big question on everybody's lips. Well, let's stay in the northeast of England, Pete. We know you like that part of the world, because Chris Hughton has been sacked by Newcastle. A bold move by Mike Ashley. Not the best one.
The thing with Mike Ashley is he's clearly a man who doesn't really care what anyone thinks. I mean, the way he conducts himself.
Well,
when he conducts himself day to day with the sort of like scantily clad slave girls, getting Boba Fett to put Han Solo in carbonite. Oh no, wait, that's
Jabba the Hutt. Space criminal. Good title.
I think bold is a very generous description of that.
I've not heard a single person today say anything other than Mike actually is an utter unalloyed prick.
Absolutely.
He's a fat, embarrassing mess. And I know a bit about being that.
He is a one-man Belend convention.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say.
But I think Hughton had given Newcastle exactly what they needed, which was stability. And everything we'd been hearing about Newcastle this season and saying ourselves is that to a degree they've been overachieving. They beat Arsenal, they drew with Chelsea. I mean,
smashed Sunderland.
Yeah, they've had some bad results on the road, but God, you got to give him longer than that.
Do you know what I think the worst thing about this Mike Ashley thing is? Cool. The worst thing about it is, I thought he changed.
He did seem to have been keeping quiet and sort of staying in the shadows, which got to be difficult
for
him.
What a grotesque. I mean, like, really sort of. He clearly just got up this morning and went, you know what? I'm just going to do something completely reprehensible.
Yeah. I've not been a dick in ages.
It's completely classless. And he's got rid of it. Like, it's not even you, it's the worst thing. Getting rid of, like, a goalkeeping coach that's been there for 12 years, worked with. Like, and we've got such great goalkeepers at the moment.
Sacked a couple of boys.
Forster up at Celtic, yeah, definitely. We got Krull, we got bloody Harper. Given owes a lot to him, and it's just like, and he's got rid of him. I don't know what the story is there.
Did he say to himself, "People are forgetting who I am"? And then the devil on his shoulder went, "Any publicity is good publicity.
You can't question Chris Hughton's commitment to Newcastle United. He's even got Newcastle United hair.
He has. Yeah,
he has Newcastle United hair. What other manager could you say that about? Terry McDermott, I'll give you.
So, if he ends up at somewhere like Wolves, will he go ginger? Just naturally.
Yeah, well, that's his commitment, James.
Well, he's strawberry blonde, I'd say, with Wolves.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. I'm glad he's made his name as a manager at Newcastle United. Yeah. And I'm hoping that he gets a job fairly soon. Because he's an understated, just gets on with the job. Man, he was something like the worst paid manager, or second worst paid manager in the whole Premiership. What on earth was Ashley expecting?
He was treating him abysmally as well. Because he had no money. He wasn't getting paid anything
at all. But these rumours were going round since the start of the season, pretty much.
Well, it's almost
as if
he even had the job.
Well, exactly. It was almost as if he was waiting for a performance, and he thought, if they lose to Sunderland, I will have you.
Oh, definitely. Oh, that's clearly what's happening.
If you get hammered at the Emirates, if you lose to now we've got you.
Well,
he spent something like £4 million in the close season. He's brought in some decent players, Tiote, Ben Arfa. Yeah. I don't think he had a massive amount to do with that, but he still played him and stuff.
Yeah.
Campbell, and just
sort
like
rehabilitating Joey Barton as well. You've got to get some credit there. And also, you look at the things that have dogged Newcastle for such a long time have been silly things happening off the pitch. And there's been the whole Andy Carroll and Kevin Nolan thing, which I think he managed superbly. He just let them get on with it. He sort of really, really played it all down. And it could have been so much more ridiculous than that was, that situation. Yeah. And under previous managers, it would have been. And as I said before, he instilled stability, and
he comes across as a lovely man as well.
Is it this thing people used to say a lot more in the past, that sort of Newcastle fans were deluded and they expected too much? And it seems like Mike Ashley, to try and prove that he is one of the fans, has taken on that stereotype. It's just mental.
I'm really happy of Steve Cotchell as Portsmouth manager, but I'll be proud to have Chris Hughton as a manager. It'd be amazing, he's
earned his stripes.
He deserves to be there.
When they went down to the Championship, we went down to the Championship, kept them together, kept on board.
Got them on first time of asking.
Exactly.
How many times has that happened? Look at Middlesbrough.
Without a fuss, he got them up.
He let
11th in the Premiership.
Yeah,
and there's not a lot of. We've scored more goals certainly at home than about four or five places above us as well.
But I mean, they won at the Emirates. The drew with Chelsea.
They were superb in those games as well.
I don't think you can apply any sort of footballing rationality to the decision. It's nothing to do with the football, is it?
And who have we got coming in? O'Neill Pardew. Don't make me sick in my mouth.
The thing, unless if he had somebody like Frank Rijkaard or flipping, a big name.
O'Neill was going to be the name that's linked.
Yeah,
surely.
But if he had someone like Rijkaard lined up, guaranteed, bang, you could.
Nah, by the time this show comes out, it'll be Pardew. That's my big thing. The second thing is, I disagree with that because it's the principle of the matter. Someone tweeted the ramble and said, "Oh, what happens if he's got O'Neill comes in and he gives him 50
million?
No. It's just principle of the matter.
I think it's a bad decision. But what I'm saying is, if he had a big name, a guy who's won a lot as a manager, comes in and does the job, you can begin to think, well. Okay, I don't agree with it, but do you know what I mean? But as we say, it's probably going to be someone like Pardew or something.
Well, it makes you question what Ashley wants out of this season. They should be looking to consolidate.
They're
doing really, really well. They should be looking to stay in the league, get themselves set up in a decent position for next season to kick on and just sort of re-establish themselves. It's so presumptuous.
Grotesque. I say this probably every year, and I think I remember saying it everywhere, sort of just what an awful decision. And it is almost every season.
The other thing is, what would you say to people, though, who said, well, it's his clubbing, do what he wants.
Well, at the end of the day, that is true. But
I suppose he needs to take some sort of responsibility for
but
the fact that
it's, Pete, here's a couple of names.
But he says stuff like somebody with more Premiership calibre. He brought in Joe Kinnear. He's been out of the job. He put Alan Shearer in, for crying out loud.
Well, Shearer's piping up saying he wants the job.
Oh, God, imagine that.
Pete, would you have Megson?
I wouldn't have Megson. I wouldn't have Pardew. I wouldn't even have O'Neill. I don't know who we want. Who would want to take that job?
Surely O'Neill would be great, though.
El Diego.
But
that would be amazing.
Would you be happy with that, Pete?
But you look at somebody like O'Neill. He doesn't enjoy people getting involved from above. Pardew's exactly the same.
Pete. Well, most managers aren't they?
Him and Cortese didn't get on.
Would you like El Diego? Surely you'd have him for a season.
It's horrible. It's a horrible situation.
He's not ready to make a decision on that.
The thing is, Mark, is El Diego is a brilliant manager as long as it's not your club.
Absolutely.
Diego Carter would be. I don't want to live in Diego.
we made the comparison to when Boris Johnson became mayor of London. Boris Johnson is brilliant. That's, he's a mayor of your city. it's quite annoying.
Definitely.
Bosses. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor old Hughton.
We were turgid the weekend, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's it.
Sol Campbell had a
Mike Ashley's turgid every day. Come on.
Yeah, show. I've met Houghton's daughter, lovely girl, proving he's a good father as well. Yeah. So it's a show. Arsenal 2-1 at home to Fulham. Sami Nasri.
I'm going to stick my neck out and say that Sami Nasri is the best player to ever play the game.
I felt sorry for that.
I'm going to wind my neck back in and then say what I really think, which is that there's a lot of debate over this at the moment, but on current form, I really do think he's the best player in the league. He's absolutely outstanding.
An early contender for match winning player of the season.
It's just, him and Bale, isn't it?
Really? He's making, yeah, definitely. He's exciting me in a way, an Arsenal player has done for a long time. Yeah.
I'm talking about him and George Best, sort of. He plays a similar way.
Is that right?
He's only about 10 games.
Luke's trying to say so many things at once, he doesn't know where to start.
Maybe that's the tactic you should employ from now on. Just confuse me to such an extent I can't say anything.
I felt sorry for Briggs, that 19-year-old kid he brought up. Oh my God.
But the first goal, though, Briggs just didn't look interested. Mm. When his man went past him, you see he actually stops and just watches.
Yeah.
And
that's
okay.
How good Nasri is at the moment.
Yeah, he was like, shh.
He's probably thinking,
I want to watch this.
I don't get such a close view.
He's probably thinking, the manager told me I've got to learn today, so I better just stop and take notes.
You're taking notes.
Yeah.
The second goal, Jonathan Pearce described it as something like beautifully balanced ballet.
Terrible.
The balance was Messi-esque. Both the goals, in fact. The way he, especially the second goal, when he managed to sort of jink himself around what seemed to be like an impossible space.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I'd have sooner him put the ball in with his left for the second rather than sort of spin around.
Yeah, I think
he had a similar position against Aston Villa shortly after the first goal, and he put it into the side netting with his left. So.
He's
evolving.
He's learned, James. I can't argue with that.
I don't think it's a case of him not having a good enough left foot because he rifled it in the first one with his left. I just think he just gave us a bit more time. Yeah,
but
I don't think he's the best player in the league. But I think he's having an excellent season. He's got about 10 or 11 goals, I think.
Yeah, he's got 11 for the season in all competitions. But I think the thing with Nasri is obviously a lot of pressure on him coming because he's of his Algerian roots, and everybody's like Nou Zidane, and it's good that he's come along and he's blossomed this season as the player that we wanted him to be and sort of got, you know, when you get excited about a signing and Nasri wasn't excited to sign it, it's like, oh well, we've heard of this one. and it's just brilliant. It's great to see him sort of springing into life, and I imagine if Fabregas goes, as I'm sure he will do, that Nasri will just stay in that position.
Well, you're playing without Fabregas at the moment.
Exactly,
Arsenal,
and
so
he's getting the best out of Nasri. And he's generally better in that position than he is out wide.
I was thinking to myself over the weekend that it's a great season this season. It's because I genuinely think that United, Chelsea were having a wobble, but I think they'll get over that. Arsenal and Spurs. And even Man City are only about 3 points off the top.
You know I'm a bugger for that.
They're all contenders.
Absolutely.
And you know, sometimes, like maybe like last season or the season before, we'd pipe up here and there saying so and so contenders. You'd sort of believe it.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe they all are. It'll make for a really, really great season. A memorable season, I think.
Yeah, well, let's hope so, indeed. And as you say, Luke, Chelsea are having a wobble. They drop points again against Everton. Good to see Beckford score again.
Yeah.
He's only got a couple, though, hasn't he? I think he's got three in
his
total.
First one,
but they're two very important goals he's got, though. Yeah. I think it's two that I've seen him
score. Say that when he signed for Everton that he doesn't look like he's Premier League quality? He's about 26 already, I think. One of the things I wanted to say about Chelsea, and I think I forgot to mention it last week, was a week and a half or 2 weeks ago or something, Chelsea played a game and their bench. I know they had Lampard and Terry and Essien.
They really are missing Lampard.
Well, 20 goals a season midfielder, you will do.
James, their bench was something like Josh McEachran, Jeffrey Bruma, Paulo Ferreira, Daniel Sturridge. It's like,
the times are
changing.
No.
It's not that deep.
Well, I think they did make a commitment to sort of bring in players through from their academy.
Oh, Kakuta they had, but again, he's unproven.
Yeah, but it's the 25-man squad, that, isn't it? I think that's a good thing. I mean, maybe that's part of the reason why the league is so sort of open this year.
But you can argue
it's a far more level playing field.
It is, but could you not argue that the two North London clubs have got the two strongest squads?
I still think Chelsea are the strongest squad than Arsenal.
Yeah, very much. And Spurs, I would say.
Mm-hmm. In the Championship, Cardiff nearly suffered a home defeat off Preston, the bottom club.
Bellamy couldn't buy a goal in that match. He slammed it so many times at the keeper, it was ridiculous.
I say nearly because they got a 94th minute equaliser. But what a result that would have been if Preston. Shame for them there. Norwich. I've come from
we got a little bit
deep.
Of stick for not mentioning the old firm, Old Farm Derby.
Yeah, 4-1, of course.
Good work.
Norwich versus Ipswich. But yeah, another good win. Norwich won away at Derby, and Derby are going pretty well.
They've won five games on the trot at home.
Derby are actually playing really well as well. It's very attractive to watch.
And it's a weird one, because don't Derby have Luke Varley, but he's been lent out to Blackpool.
That's right, yeah.
And he's playing well for Blackpool.
Which is really well.
Great goal.
Yeah.
Probably. That or the Bolton team goal for goal of the month. I was discussing with the listeners on the forum today.
How good was? Did you guys see Ian Holloway on goals on Sunday?
Oh yeah,
he was amazing. He was really good.
Yeah.
I love Ian Holloway. Do you know what?
He's a good guy.
We forgot to mention, Marcus, that when we went down and did that coaching weekend.
Yes.
Ian Holloway did it with the guys that did us.
Oh, this was in Bristol, of course. This was a few months ago.
And it was the pro license, though, not the B.
Yeah, we were sitting on the UEFA B license coaching,
and he said that that Holloway's philosophy. You know, they play like quite nice attacking football now.
Yep.
Use the width quite well.
That's right.
They never used to do that against when he was at QPR and some other place, and maybe a bit of Bristol Rovers, but not that much.
Leicester, yeah. I think.
But it's funny because he referenced it on the Goals on Sunday when he said, before I went, well, he didn't mention the coaching course, but it was that time period. He said, before when I was managing at QPR and some other
That's
clubs,
right, yeah, he did.
I was scared of losing games rather than trying to win them. Yep. And he says, now I'm trying to win them. And I really think that Ian Holloway's making moves, sensibly in my opinion, to try and get himself taken a bit more seriously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He said that repeatedly. And he kept saying, I'm having a great time. Mm-hmm. And I think he's freed himself up, as you say, to play a more attacking style, a more open style. And it suits him, I think, as well. And he gets... I would imagine it would be great to play for him, because he would be a great encourager to G the players up. And that kind of style of play goes with that a bit more, I think, you know?
I mean, you get the impression of Ian Holloway, you just really wouldn't want to let him down.
You know what I mean?
And you'd really fight.
Obviously imagine making him cry.
He's obviously a good guy. But he also piped up and reiterated and said that that if the Premier League come down on him about that squad selection, he'll quit. He said offer his resignation, he'll quit. Yeah.
But with Holloway, I think for him, it's just sort of him accepting himself as a Premier League manager.
And
that'll be the next step.
Because we're always hearing from Blackpool, like they're just saying they're enjoying it being there, and you get the impression they feel like they're lucky to be there, and they're doing so well that I think they can afford to sort of, you know, take themselves a lot more seriously. And obviously you've got to fight for the whole season and stuff like that. But I think, you know, they're almost doing themselves a bit of a disservice there. They've been brilliant.
I hope he doesn't do a Phil Brown and becomes incredibly unlikable within 6 months.
I don't think he'll do that. But the thing, one thing that brought it into sort of into reality for me was with the Luke Varley thing. Holloway was saying, we wanted to sign Luke Varley permanently, but his wages were too much. We couldn't pay more, and he's a Championship player.
That's right.
It's crazy. The budget Blackpool are on is breathtaking.
Totally.
Low, you know.
Go back to what you said, James, about taking themselves seriously. I think that there is that wonderful thing for being a club newly promoted, and you win a couple of games, some big results, and it's all going well. And there is an air of, let's just enjoy this, and everyone's having a great time. But when you do start taking yourself seriously, there is a shift, and the
extra
air changes.
Pressure.
Exactly, a lot of extra pressure. Suddenly you lose a home game that you thought you might have won. People start getting a little bit irate, you know, the fans get on top of you, and it changes. So perhaps they want that to go on as long as possible.
Maybe,
it's a funny one. Well, let's go to La Liga, shall we?
Yeah,
it's
cold here.
It's cold there as well.
As the Barcelona,
the Basque derby was very cold.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, as the Barcelona coach rolled in late
for
kickoff, there was a little bit of snow on the ground, perhaps. Yeah, did you hear about this? The Barcelona team, they thought the game was cancelled. They were playing away at Osasuna. There was a strike with the air traffic controllers.
Wildcat strike.
Yeah, that's right. They went on strike, and I think Pep Guardiola was told the game was going to be cancelled. And then on the day of the game, they were told, no, it's going ahead. So they had to get a couple of trains and a coach to the ground, and they arrived late for kickoff. Yeah. Which is incredible. I mean, we've all done it on a Sunday morning.
Imagine them
on
a
Saturday.
Imagine like Messi on a train.
Yeah.
Messi on a tree.
Reading the Metro.
El Metro.
Absolutely incredible.
They still won, though.
They duly dispatched Osasuna 3-0. Another good performance there. And Real Madrid are back on track. 2-0 home win against Valencia. Ronaldo with both goals. He really... it's his God-given right to score goals, doesn't he? When he misses, he gets so annoyed. It's almost as if, well, you lot shouldn't have been looking at me so much.
The entire universe is fault. Stop getting it wrong.
Who made the goals that small? You know, it really is quite funny. Now, have you seen Jose Mourinho? He's got a ban from UEFA because of the two time-wasting sendings off that we saw the other week in the Champions League. It was Alonso and Val Kilmer. And
Madrid's most sent off player.
At the age of 24 or something.
We said that last week, I think. I've got to refer to your notes here, Marcus, actually, because you say Mourinho gets a ban from UEFA, but isn't bothered at all.
No, it's been rescinded.
Rescinded. Yeah, he's lost. He doesn't have to serve it anymore. But if he's naughty in the next 3 years, apparently he gets a one-match ban. So, but I mean, but this is how he got into this trouble anyway. Well, a one-match ban was on the horizon. So they thought, right, I'll get out of the way, do something naughty.
That's like when you get in trouble at school and the teacher says, right, I'm not going to phone your parents. I want you to tell them. I'm going to do that.
Take this letter home. All right then. when he thought he was he had the ban, he said, I see this punishment as a medal. I'm not going to change. I remember what my grandmother told me as a child. If they are envious of you, you should be happy. And this has happened to me. I'm pleased there's one rule for Jose Mourinho and one for the other coaches. It's a historical punishment for me.
What is he saying there? What, that he's been harshly treated or better treated than the other coaches?
I think basically he's saying that...
He's mocking the system, isn't
it? Don't question it.
But, I mean, that was a grotesque... I'm going to use the word grotesque again, everyone.
You like that word?
Again, it wasn't the greatest piece of work from a team that should have a little bit more self-respect. It was an absolute shocker.
When players do this with the old getting a ban on purpose, Beckham's I love the way that it happens reasonably regularly, but every single player to a man cannot resist making it so obvious done it because they're so proud of themselves.
Look at when Beckham did it. People call me stupid. Well, if you hadn't talked about it, you wouldn't have.
I mean, it was obvious what Beckham did, because he suddenly, in a nothing game, sorry, it wasn't a nothing game, forgive me,
the
it was against Wales.
But it
was,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the latter stages of the final sort of seconds, England had already won, and he went in, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, well, that's obviously what he's done there. Well done, Beckham. And then he came out and said it to the heart of understanding, and he's like, oh, you silly boy.
I do think it's silly that the bookings carry over from the group stage and Champions League. I think it should be a clean slate when
I thought it was even
sillier. What Jose should have done was looked at Ramos and Alonso and thought, which one do I really, really want? Right, you get sent off. Not two of you for the same obvious thing.
Was it Alonso that was dummying his free kicks when there was no one within about 40 yards of him?
He was on 12 yard box on the 18 yard box.
Well, the other one was a bye kick. 4-0 up.
If you have to pick between them, pick Ramos. He's always getting sent off. No alarm. Yeah. Really. Oh, Ramos got sent off again.
Exactly.
If anything, him not getting sent off would raise the alarm.
That leads us neatly onto Serie A. Inter have lost again. This time away to Lazio. Lazio going well. Still in second.
I saw bits and pieces of that game, and Hernandez was absolute class.
We talked about him a lot.
You know, Inter. I was reading, I think it was Martin Paolo Bandini's piece on The Guardian. He said that Inter had first option on Hernandez, but the rules on non-EU players changed, and they signed Coutinho instead.
Okay, right.
So Coutinho's a really good player.
Yeah, of course.
About 18, isn't he?
Yeah, but Lazio got Lazio nips in and got Hernandez. I'll tell you who else was brilliant. Ex Birmingham City player Mauro Zarate was great. He tormented the guy playing fullback. I felt so sorry for him. It was like the Arsenal game, sort of, you know, tormenting the fullback.
Let's move across town to Milan. They were at home to Brescia.
Well, just across the seats.
Yeah,
very true. Their coach has been sacked after this game. But talking about Milan, the prince. Boateng has got his first
goal. One of my favourite players, I'd say. He's really settled in well in Milan.
He has done very well. They probably like having a guy who can actually run.
Zlatan's goal, though, eh?
Oh. Well,
the speed on that, even the slow motion.
I lost it out of my vision when he hit it.
Yeah,
I could, because he was moving backwards and he was leaning back, and I thought, how's he going to get this shot off? And then he just darted forwards, and the defender didn't know what to do.
He really knows how to smack things hard, doesn't he, Zlatan? He loves it. Hasn't he got like honorary black belt in Taekwondo or something?
Yeah, he
does.
Honorary
work. Yeah. Well, he's not earned that, though.
I know, that's the strange thing. He is Zlatan, mate. He does what he likes.
When people break into his house and he give him an honorary kicking. Get out.
He just picks up the belt. See that?
One of the things I was going to say about Ibrahimovic is when he got that got a ball before he scored.
He should have passed it.
He looked like he had missed his chance.
Yeah.
But he slowed the game down to the point. And do you remember that children's TV show where she claps her hands and everyone stops?
Yeah. Well, like Zach Morris can say by the bell,
yeah,
time
yeah,
out.
Yeah. Yeah. He did that and he just bang, whacked it in.
Yeah, that's true. He did actually.
He sped it up as he hit the ball.
Yeah. There was a pass on. Pace. There was a pass on for him on the edge of the box or out wide,
he's
which he probably
that.
Should have taken.
No, he's not having that.
But not with hindsight.
He scored.
Rubinho, yeah, exactly.
Rubinho played well.
He
well.
Scored. Rubinho scored. Zlatan also set up Boateng's goal.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And Rubinho...
Actually, I remember, because Zlatan celebrated it like he'd scored. He just wandered off on his own, just celebrating.
He will do that, James.
Yeah.
But he's Zlatan has denied rumours linking
Marcus
him...
Marcus does that.
To, all the time. He has denied rumours linking him to Madrid.
He can't go to Madrid. He can't go from... where he is. He's officially a contract to Barca. It's in his contract. He can't go to Madrid.
Let him play.
He has to go somewhere else first if he wants to go to Madrid.
Let him play the media game.
Yeah.
He said Mourinho and I are similar because we speak clear and concrete.
Do you reckon he piped up and just went, well, I'm not sure I'm going to go to Madrid, and someone just went, well, you can't.
Yeah.
Well, because he can't. So get him out of that
try
Zeppelin.
Me,
get him out of that Zeppelin, Pete, and tell him from me he can't.
Now, just staying briefly a little bit longer in Serie A, the players are looking to strike next weekend for the 11th and 12th of December. This is, of course, a disagreement, which is all about the players claiming there
I
is.
I thought it was about tube station staff.
That's right. It's all about the players claiming there is a lack of protection when clubs try to force them into a transfer when they enter the final year of their contracts.
I think that's a completely reasonable gripe, because as we say so many times, footballers are human beings. You shouldn't be able to just be forced to go somewhere else against your will.
Well, I would agree with you, James, but Italy's Football League president, Maurizio Barretta, he said the player strike is an irresponsible decision and without reason. I'd like to say he absolutely has a reason.
They've given the reason there.
He's not thought about that.
Yeah.
And we are witnessing a dangerous play of massacre.
Bit of a translation problem there.
No, it's his problem.
Yeah, it is his problem.
So he's against it. So, but yeah, it looks as though if you're going out there next weekend to watch a match, hard luck.
Presumably, if they wasn't against it, there wouldn't be a strike.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very true. He'd let them do it, wouldn't he? Would
probably
it?
Just be Zlatan turning up.
Yeah,
he'll break the picket line. Zlatan he'll want to play.
Zlatan's a sort of bloke, right? In his Zeppelin,
he could go over the picket line.
He would get everyone else to strike, and then he would just turn up and score loads of goals on his own, just to get that top scorer or something.
Yeah, and as he's going to the stadium, all the players are lining up, going, "How can you do this? And he's going, I am Zlatan."
This is Sparta. I am Zlatan.
Now it's time to move on from ridiculous things. Russia and Qatar will host the 2018 and 2022 World Cups. I'm sure you've all seen and heard about this.
Yes.
England didn't get...
I've not heard of it. What's happening?
Well, England bidded for the 2018 World Cup. They didn't get it.
Which is international football.
Okay, right.
Isn't Sepp Blatter a lovely public speaker?
Yeah. He's a great orator. I completely agree with you.
It did take him ages to announce the winners. He did mumble and bumble his way through.
Shut up, Sepp.
One of my biggest things about the FIFA executive committee is, and I don't mean this in a harsh way, but they never die.
I know.
Never seen
no,
been,
all guy of them have been that job. Massive beard.
Yeah,
must have been from the Russian beard.
Like Terry Pratchett.
I think that
is he ours.
No, I think that might be an American guy.
Ah,
is he ours?
There's a massive
Johnny
American
Beard here.
Human being, yeah.
There is a huge American bloke with one of the beards. I think forgive me if that's wrong, but might be the guy.
He's like a tree in the front row.
Get this. He said that he was going to vote for England because they had the best bid, but then he heard that they weren't going to get the votes, so he didn't vote for England. Which is the way it should work, James.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's interesting with Qatar getting 2022. A friend of mine texted me an interesting question, which was that as people from Israel aren't allowed into Qatar, so if Israel qualify, they've said they're going to waive that, and also that you'll be able to buy alcohol and stuff, which I imagine is FIFA going, your laws mean nothing now.
I think you're allowed to drink. I think Jackman on our forum wrote down quite a lot of how more progressive Qatar is than you actually think.
Really?
And you are allowed to drink alcohol, aren't you?
I think it's the people from there can't drink
don't
alcohol.
Worry about that yet, because it's 12 years away.
We won't be drinking alcohol, we'll be taking space drugs.
Yeah.
I do just worry
or I will be anyway.
I just question the sanity of any society that wouldn't want Dustin Hoffman on their soil. Just seems sad.
I have to agree with you. Also, though, I mean, you say their society is more progressive, and that may well be true, I don't know. But they can't change the temperature. No. So, what Franz Beckenbauer, who's a FIFA Executive Committee member...
That's
said,
who you want as a FIFA Executive
Committee
member.
Yeah, I'm all for him being there.
Well,
yeah.
Hang on a minute.
All right.
yeah, I thought that originally as
is
well.
Is he taking his nickname the Kaiser a bit too literally?
He said that this was with regards to the temperatures there. He said one should think about a different solution. In January or February, you have a comfortable 25 degrees there.
That's what they'll do. They'll move it.
And he's saying that
they'll probably have the African Cup of Nations at the same time.
Yeah.
I bet they'll move it.
He's saying that the World Cup could be in January or February. And he said plans for the biggest leagues in the world would have to change for 2022. But that would not be a major undertaking.
Well, it would.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Completely would.
Franz is in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. I'm inclined to take him out.
This type of change is a calendar.
Well, I
maybe
can't
he was
say that.
Drunk when he said that.
All right, we'll leave it as chance.
Yeah.
But.
What's the difference between the US matches at what their temperature got to in Qatar? Is it completely...
Oh, no, you're talking like sort of...
Qatar, 44 degrees or something in Qatar.
But Qatar are looking at...
air-conditioned stadiums.
You're only going to be in the stadium for 90 minutes.
You what?
But you're only going to be in the stadium for 90 minutes anyway.
Yeah, true, but, you know...
Could they not just have a roof on it? What's wrong with that?
Have you... Well, I don't think...
An air conditioner.
But I don't think... The problem isn't that the players are going to be hot, because, like you say, that'll be sorted out by then. But the problem is that people who go there are going to be there for 3 weeks.
It's going to be an ice age by then. Do you not read the mail?
If England qualify, our fans will be there for that weather.
I read a funny joke.
Handkerchief will be back.
They could all lose a few pounds.
That's very true.
Paul Scholes won't even be able to pund it.
He won't even be able to watch it on telly.
It's true. Have you seen the stadiums, or the stadia, sorry, the artist impressions?
Oh, we should put the video on YouTube on
It is incredible. They're just
pictures, though.
Yeah, but they just... What are they proposing? Unbelievable. I mean, they've got a £50 million budget.
They can do anything they want, really, can't they? Because they've got to build so much.
But do you know, though, that obviously the country's extremely small.
They've got a $50 billion budget.
Yeah, that's...
Blimey. Wembley with that.
Have like a metro system that's just roller coasters. It'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
What I was saying, I can't remember who too, is that nobody in Qatar's really that bothered by football, so I'm led to believe. I mean, they tried to get a bit of a league going, but it's not...
There's
really
not that many people in Qatar to be bothered.
1.7 million.
Why not just keep the 50 billion.
Yeah. Well, we were saying this the other day, actually, Mark, because I think it might have been us having this chat.
Okay.
They've got the World Cup now. Do they actually have to do it? Can they not just do whatever they want? It is them hosting it. Just have it down the park. Yeah. Just keep them.
But what they're doing with the stadiums is apparently once the World Cup's finished, they can dismantle them pretty much brick by brick and then send those
materials.
You
can dismantle anything brick by brick, surely.
if it's made of bricks. Yeah. But, and then they're going to send the materials and all to...
The next World Cup.
To the next World Cup.
How can this... should do that. How can this be a money spinner for anyone? Yeah. How can this be a money spinner for Qatar?
Why
did Qatar want it?
Whatever happens, Sepp will be... in pocket.
He'll definitely still be alive, he'll
be a head in a jar.
Joao Haviland, who was president before Blatter, is about 150 and he's still knocking around. He looks like something from that old sci-fi series The Outer Limits. I suppose, like an absolute mess,
even if
The Outer Limits is such a sort of weird reference.
No, it's true,
it's like a crap X-Files and a crap sort of
that is a weird TV weird.
I've said it now. I'm not trying,
but Luke,
that
he's
man
bang
in
on.
The logo is going, ooh.
Yeah. He'll have another host body by then. You're right.
They'll vote on it on committee. One of the jokes I read on Twitter is that someone asked Sepp Blatter who his favourite Qatar player is, and he said Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton. Yeah, nice. Not bad.
I like that a lot.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Incidentally, though, obviously, we could talk about England and Russia's bid, but I'm sure you've all heard all the stuff. Although what I will say is that perhaps, you know, the English have got their own back in just a small way, because Boris Johnson, the Mayor of London, has withdrawn the offer of a free stay in one of London's swanky hotels for FIFA executives during the 2012 Olympics.
Are you sure it's not the boss of the hotel going, sorry, you're doing what?
Yeah. So he's given them a bribe to try and get the World Cup, and now they haven't got it, he's taking it back. Yeah. He's as bad as them. That's the problem, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
One of the big things about this,
it just outs it as a bribe, doesn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like Beckham getting booked on purpose.
Yeah, he's indicting himself.
Yeah, it's a shame.
One of the things about it is, don't pipe up. The thing is, it annoys me a little bit, and we all knew it was corrupt and that sort of stuff. We said it for ages, and don't. But the thing that annoys me is the England big team. I know it's understandable in a way, but they weren't moaning about any of this sort of stuff. You know, they were playing the game. It's not when they didn't get it. Oh, that was corrupt. We're not getting involved anymore. We're not playing. And what they've said is,
we didn't realise it was this corrupt.
They said we're not going to bid for a World Cup anymore until the rules change. Which is effectively not taking your ball and going
do
home.
Do that at the start. Do that before you bid.
Yeah.
But it's, Jesus.
Russia's going to. It'll be a decent World Cup in Russia. It'd be great. I mean, you can understand why people want to move the World Cup.
I agree with decisions. If I'm completely honest, I think it's an interesting. The Qatar problem is an interesting one to try and get over.
And they've got plenty of time.
And I'm genuinely interested on how they're going to actually overcome it. The Russia bid wasn't as comprehensive as everybody else's, but I would like to see a World Cup in Russia.
I think the trouble
the
is
way that it was given was awful.
I think the trouble is they say these are the criteria if you want to host the World Cup, and then they haven't done that. But also, you know, talking to a couple of guys who I've known who have spent some time in Russia and all, they've done nothing to try and stop racism. They've done very little to try and stop
racism. But racism isn't part of the bid.
No, I know it's not. But what I'm saying is these countries haven't done much to deserve the World Cup. They suddenly thought, oh, let's bid for it. Yeah, and let's go in.
But maybe this will help with ending football racism.
You never know. But if you look at England, they've spent years of trying to tackle racism and hooliganism in the game, sorting out the stadiums so they're top-class stadiums and maintaining all this sort of stuff. And you know, it's Qatar haven't done anything to deserve
Marcus,
the World
Cup. You can't take the World Cup and just rotate it around the country that's already been.
Yeah, definitely.
You make it exclusive close shot.
No, I'm not saying that.
And I don't think anti-racism is at the top of any sort of bill of FIFA. They clearly don't give a toss. They don't give a toss about it.
It's not even taken into account in the bidding process. It's in the rules. It's nothing. They won't take into account any past issues of racism.
But they will accept nice fancy bags.
Exactly.
Oh, I forgot about the bags. Sorry. On a more positive note, the Ballon d'Or shortlist has been released into the wild, and three names are on it.
Controversial ones.
Yeah. Messi, Xavi and Iniesta.
It's probably a good thing Rooney wasn't nominated, because if Xavi won, he'd get up to accept the award. And that'd just be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Was that a planned joke?
Well, I mean, I wanted to see Forlan get a nod.
Yeah.
So it's a bit upsetting from that point of view.
On the Football Ramble forum at thefootballramble.com, it goes, there was somebody set up a little vote on there. And the forum vote went Xavi, Messi, Villa, and Forlan. Oh. Iniesta with only one single vote.
They're Philistines over there, I'll tell you.
He jests, of course.
But I mean, last three winners, Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Kaká.
I think so.
I think it'll probably. Messi's the sort of.
I think
Hollywood
choice.
I think Xavi deserves it.
He came third last time round, didn't he?
I think because Messi won it last time, he did have such a ridiculous season. It'd almost be boring to give it to him, however much he deserves it. I think Xavi deserves recognition.
They say in Spain that Xavi's the best Spanish midfielder of all time. Yeah. So I mean, you know, that's sort of, you know.
Iniesta didn't start a lot of matches last. He was substituted quite a lot.
He got a bit of injury.
Well, he hasn't got any blood.
Going back to your point, James. Actually, how the nomination, how the award is going to be given, it actually, you know, the criteria is obviously have a good season, play really well. They're not going to do that because they want to give it to someone who's never had it before.
They should they should do like a Krypton factor style thing on the night. You should have to win it when you get there.
You've got to do skills.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I'm a big fan of that. Make it happen.
Like a Wayne Rooney Street Striker.
Last man standing, keep you up.
I imagine
keep the delegates there all night.
Go on for days.
Yeah. Mr. Wu would win it every year. I want to take us to Mexico for a change.
It would definitely be hot there.
Yeah, it will be, and it is. I banged on about this man before the World Cup. Watch out for him. Humberto Suazo, the Chilean. He looks like a big baby.
He let you down, didn't he?
He let me down.
I got injured, really.
But he's made up for it. He scored two goals at the weekend to help his team, Monterrey, I think that's how you pronounce it. Forgive me if it isn't. To win the Mexican Apertura title.
So he's Chilean, but he plays in Mexico?
Yeah. A lot of them play in Mexico. They've got a thriving league in Mexico.
And big money out there, apparently.
I think it's the fourth? In the world, like fourth highest league in the world, it's really high.
Yeah, because that's why the Copa Libertadores invite the Mexicans.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they get loads of money and loads of viewers.
They've won the championship. Suarez has helped them, and he was one of, if not maybe, the top scorer this season. So there you go.
Was he the top
scorer? Everybody.
Was he the top scorer or not?
He was one of them. It's quite hard to find Mexican statistics.
You wanted
on the
to bring
internet.
Him in, so tell us.
Can he do it?
Can he do it on a windy night in South Africa? No.
Attention.
He's injured.
Luke, I want an update on Andrei Voronin next week.
Attention, all pedants. Marcus is committed that Humberto Suazo was a league's top scorer. You know what to do.
Yeah. He might have been
merciless.
Please have mercy.
Emails.
There it is.
You've not tried with that one.
Again. I've only got one word to work with, Jim.
Yeah, but you know, you've got a lot of different times.
I've done it 80 times.
We need a better email jingle. Send one in.
Yeah.
Podcast at the Football Ramble. We'll play any old nonsense, but make it short.
And not libelous. We're already up to our neck and libelous as it is.
Jack Guana.
send your email
jingles
in. He
eats children.
Send some jingles in. That'd be good, wouldn't it? We'll play them.
Any jingle. Any jingle you want.
Ones you've made.
Yeah.
It's got to say Football Ramble emails in it.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Podcast at thefootballramble.com.
.com. Pete.
Sweet as.
Read that, mother.
I've got an email. It's from Remy Downey.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Dear Football Ramblers, apologies if I've missed the boat and I'm sending this too late, but given this was your topic of the week for a couple of weeks, I thought you might like to hear about the time me and my friend saw Andy Cole. We were in a bar in Covent Garden when Andy Cole, who had just announced he was leaving Newcastle to join Manchester United, walked in with a number of friends. My friend, not much of a footy fan, but a total Geordie. Like a total. You are a total Geordie. Total Geordie.
Brilliant.
Like total football. She started mouthing off about how much she hated him. How could he leave Newcastle? Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God.
Anyway, next thing I know, she's over talking to one of the group, pointing up directly into their face, quite clearly shouting at this particular guy who was looking at her and nodding, not saying anything. After about 4 minutes, she returned. I asked her, what were you doing? She said, I told that guy, you tell your friend Andy Bloody Cole that he is a disgrace to the North. He will never be welcome up at Newcastle again. Manchester United, Fergie won't even play him, and then he'd be begging to come back, but we won't have him. You make sure you tell that to your mate. And then I told her that was Andy Cole.
Outstanding.
Outstanding.
Every time I hear a story of Andy Cole or see him, he's always being talked at and he's never saying anything back. But that Mark Bright thing was an absolute disgrace. 90 minutes, you're just bantering him in his ear, and Andy Cole was saying nothing.
Golf.
Yeah.
Maybe everyone's slagging him. Mm. Apart from Mark Bright, I'll just take it.
It's fine.
European Champions League winners' medal. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Send the jingle in for the profile as well if you want.
Yeah,
make it a bit more elegant and a bit more classy.
quite regal. I'm
the
thinking.
Email's jovial, but don't make the mistake of making the profile jovial because we won't use it.
Can we have a Diego Corner one as well?
A Diego Corner one would be excellent.
Zlatan Zeppelin and an Ica Grove. We rarely go to Ica Grove because Casillas is quite well behaved, but you never know.
And some presenters for the show. Come on in and just do the podcast.
Have you got any jokes?
Because we are spent.
Seriously, we only want the jingles.
Yeah, it is profile time.
Good.
And enough. We're going to put in a whole team. It's the Kaiser Chiefs Football Club.
Can I get in
before
there?
Before anybody says a crap joke.
Before Jim goes, oh, Luke and the Kaiser Chiefs, I predict a diet.
I wasn't going to say that.
Well, I've said it now, so you can't.
Yeah. Snuffed out that attack.
I wasn't going to do it.
They were founded on January the 7th, 1970.
3 years after the Summer of Love. Very young club.
Very young. And that's how we like our clubs. I don't know what I said that for.
Weird, Marcus.
It was for a cheap laugh. And
you're going to prison.
1970. They are, of course, a professional South African football club from the Soweto area of Johannesburg. We had a marvellous meal near Desmond Tutu's house.
Yes, we did.
And the club was formed at right in the height of the apartheid legislation in South Africa, which was obviously a very bad era in that country's history. And the club, they really did When they began and they started to have success, they really showed a lot of the downtrodden black population their potential at the time when there were very few role models for the black population in South Africa during the apartheid era. And also the club provided a lot of joy and a lot of happiness during that turbulent time, which was a very welcome outlet in that era, as I say. And they've now become the biggest, arguably the biggest football club in South Africa, and an estimated 16 million supporters.
Surely they're the biggest club by some distance, aren't they?
Yeah, I would like. I say arguably in case somebody says, well, actually, But yeah, no, I think Orlando Pirates really would try and...
That's the big one there, isn't it? That's the big one.
Yeah, that's the derby. So I say that in case Orlando Pirates...
They come around
and visit me. But bearing in mind, they were formed in 1970. Mm. 16 million supporters. I mean, that's incredible, really. And they were effectively a breakaway of the Orlando Pirates, you know, which is why their rivalry is so intense. Mm-hmm. A real fierce rivalry, that one. And the reason why they broke away was in the late 60s, a group of players at the Pirates were unhappy with their share of bonus payments, and they split with the management in 1969, just 2 years after Summer of Love.
It's a Pirates mutiny.
Yeah, there you go.
Confusing concept.
Very relevant. And they eventually formed their own side. And one of the Pirates' most famous players, who's called Kaiser Mtong, I think is pronounced
Mtong.
Mtong. It's spelt Mo Twang, but I've been told by South African friends that it's Mtong. He led the breakaway, and he formed his own team, which is, of course, where they get their name, the Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they were just like an invitation team set up to play friendly matches around the country. And Kaiser himself...
Have they essentially gone straight from being Pirates?
Yeah, that's sure. Right, yeah.
There's too many Chiefs, not enough Indians.
Ah, very good, very good. And Kaiser himself was a player in NASL. And,
yes.
Or should I say the North American Soccer League? Otherwise,
no. You should say NASL.
Okay. And he was a player himself in his first season in NASL. He was given the best newcomer award,
Rookie of the Year,
which is what it's correctly known as. Yes. Very good indeed.
Royalty. Yeah.
Another way us English have to sort of make that a little bit more respectable. Rookie of the Year. Well, he sort of means best newcomer.
That's right. Now, they were founding members of the National Professional Soccer League in 1971. Mm. It's funny, isn't it? You think, you know, these countries have played football for years, and it was until the 70s. It's a lot bit like Brazil as well, because you've mentioned before, when they get their professional league going. And
they'll get there one day.
Yeah, that's right.
And we'll get there one day.
The Chiefs have always tried to present themselves as a side of glamour and aspiration, and again, a lot of supporters.
Well, I think there's an important role to play there, because as we experienced when we were in South Africa during the summer, is that there's a lot of role models there for people now, but a lot of them will be from overseas, and will be from a different sport,
very much so.
Or be from Manchester United or something. It's important for them to have, if they're into football and they're South African, it's great for them to have South African football role models, you know.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. When apartheid on the football pitch broke down, they were the first black side to beat a white team, which was a massive deal at the time. It really was. And they were also one of the first teams to hire a foreign coach, Englishman Eddie Lewis, who coached them in the mid-season.
Is that his name?
Eddie Lewis.
Englishman Eddie Lewis.
Sounds like a boxer.
Yeah. he's one of our own. That's what I wanted to say. I see some of our managers did go abroad. Now, because of apartheid back in the day, their players couldn't play elsewhere on the continent. It was obviously a horrific
nasty business,
thing. So not many people knew the South African players. The sporting boycott of South Africa from the 70s and the 80s deprived a whole generation of sportsmen a chance to show what they can do on the world stage, which is a crying shame. It really is. However, they did have a few players from the Kaiser Chiefs who did go overseas, and Nkobo actually played for Penarol in Uruguay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And
strange move, that is.
It is, isn't it? South Africa to Uruguay. And a couple of their players did play in NASL as well. Perhaps the best one, I say perhaps, is a guy called Patrick Ace Slonglengo.
I love this. Can we do more of these? Can you say that again?
Unsulengu. That's it. I've got it. And he is considered by many the best player in the history of South African football.
Which is Ratherby.
Fish. Yeah, well, Radomir played for the Kaiser Chiefs.
Well, that's why the band the Kaiser Chiefs are named after them, because they're from Leeds.
That's right, yeah.
That was the link. But Stephen Pienaar, he could go on to great things. Pienaar, he's a good young player.
But at the moment, it's Ace. And Clive Barker, former South Africa coach, he said, when you write the book of South African footballing history, right up there at the very top would have to be the king himself, Ace.
The Bafana Bafana book.
That's right, Pete. And Unselengu, he used to play in Nazzle. And in the summer before, he used to play in Nazzle during their season. And when that would finish, he'd go back and play for the Kaiser Chiefs.
Doesn't need a rest.
Doing this well before
has a
Beckham.
Rest, has a rest on the flight over. That's all he needs.
Exactly. Inspired Beckham, perhaps, to do it.
Perhaps is the key word.
Yeah, open to interpretation there. And he played for the Kaiser Chiefs between 74 and 84. There was only one season that they ended without a trophy. And his nickname was Mapenka Fancy, the man who always looks down. And this was...
It's like a Bond film that never got made for being shit.
Lightning only ever strikes twice.
He was so good that he could just do things with the ball.
But the man afraid of pens.
He wasn't a pen pusher.
Majesty's Secret Sandwich, I'm sorry, carry on.
Had to get it in, didn't you?
Yeah. We've all done one now, it's fine, we're all happy.
Marcus, you can drop one in whenever you like.
Thank you very much. The man who listens...
Might be best if you know.
He was... because he always looked down, he was very hard to read.
Yeah.
But he was so good, he'd always pick out a pass.
Yeah. I've read a little bit about him when I knew we were doing this, and he was some player by all accounts.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, he died in 2006 of a heart attack, but he's fondly remembered as a gentleman of the game as well.
Such a pity that he didn't manage to see the South African World Cup.
Absolutely.
Well, he would have known it was going to be in his own country. It is a shame.
So, Kaiser Chiefs, let's move on to in the more modern era. They didn't participate in African club competitions for a few years because of finances, but on their return in 2001, they won straight away the African equivalent of the Cup Winners' Cup.
Yeah. Great stuff.
There you go. They've won more titles than any other side in South Africa. But recently, their dominance has been challenged. They've won more than 40 trophies in four decades. And they're always the team to beat, really, and they attract the biggest crowds. It was quite incredible, really. Bearing in mind, 1970, these guys were set up.
We went past their stadium, actually, when we were in Johannesburg, didn't we? It's a shame, but there wasn't going to be any games being played or anything.
There was another tournament
going on. We weren't that good, really. So.
That's right, yeah. Kaiser Umtong himself, this is a nice touch. His son currently plays for the Kaiser Chiefs. His daughter is marketing manager, and other son Bobby is on the coaching staff.
Oh, nice.
It's a family affair, one can quite happily say. But to sum it up, to sum the Kaiser Chiefs up, I'll let the big Kaiser himself have the last few words. And he says, "We emphasised through words and deeds, both on and off the field, that soccer was about comradeship, about friendship, sportsmanship and the like." He said, "We promoted the concept of love and peace and incorporated it into our slogan." Right. And with that, the Kaiser Chiefs are coming in.
And you come in.
And bring Ace with you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Leave the band.
Yeah. Band can stay out.
They're not in. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. Hope you've had a lovely time. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com.
Send us your jingles.
Jingles ahoy.
Yeah.
And the website is thefootballramble.com. Come on over there. There's all sorts of blogs from all around the world. Fantastic things they are.
James, some of them award nominated.
Yeah. James or Jim's got an award.
Nomination.
Jumping the gun. Also on the forum, we gave away the PDC Pro Tour darts game last week. Pat Mustard, Shivam, Dave Monk and Michael Moll's lovely wife have all won a copy of the game.
Well done to them.
Selected at random.
Alright.
If you are looking for a brilliant Christmas present as well, you could do a lot worse than get over to the shop on our website, thefootballramble.com, and look at some of the t-shirts we've got. The I Am Zlatan one's very popular.
Yeah, I thought that one.
And would you like to say thank you to Pick Live and Jamie Cuttridge, who managed to get together. Well, we played Jamie Cuttridge as a part of a Football Ramble / Pick Live football team.
Beat your mate one
weekend. Beat your mate one. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Marcus scored a particularly good Peter Beasley-esque goal.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was nice.
Chips are back.
The only announcement. You don't see enough chips, do you? The only announcement I've got.
I took matters into my own hands.
You did. The only announcement. I ordered some chips in the bar afterwards, actually.
Clever.
The only announcement I've got is the Ramble Christmas drinks on the 18th of December. It isn't too late to get your name down yet. All the details are online on the Facebook page, on the website, thefootballramble.com. So get yourself on there if you fancy coming along.
I'm going to get smashed. And speaking of Pick Live, you can also play Pick Live if you like. It's very, very popular. It's lots of fun. And if there's a football match going on, Pick Live will probably be covering it. Thefootballramble.picklive.com for that.
If you want to win like money, our actual money from us, it's the only way you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, and it's really quite
good.
Easy.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it is.
If anyone wants a game of Mott at the Christmas drinks, I'll play them. You know, Mott, where you throw coins at the wall?
Oh, well, there's going to be Pick Live games at the Christmas drinks as well. Oh, so there's another reason to come down. You can play there. Oh,
loads of reasons.
Don't play Mott with Pete then, fine.
Well, the idiots can do that. Yeah. They're northerners who don't like computers.
Oh, that's enough.
I'm only joking. They know I'm joking. I'm a very big fan of the North.
We don't like computers, apparently. Ooh. Connor Mike Ashley.
I'm a big fan of Watford and Barnett.
Silliness.
Marcus, what we have to do?
I'm going to stop it there. James or Jim, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Pete, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Luke, say goodbye.
See you later, yeah.
And it's goodbye from me. We're all off the strike without a reason. Cheers.
Strike without a reason.
Good.
But I think that's why Listen, I get on so well, because we're both very creative and very talented. Got plenty to talk about.
It's one art painting involved.
Yeah. Good with colours, both of you, yeah. Is that the thing?
How do you not know what the Achilles is? Yeah. Earlier, you said playing football against listeners is one of the rare joys about doing this. It's better of all of them.
It's not looking at your penis and smelling your anus, is it?
I don't consider it a joy.
I just think it's better of all and a bit disrespectful.
What's the bit that joins the foot to the leg? The back thing.
Leg, isn't it?
Achilles. How do you not know what the Achilles is? Achilles.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.